Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 44, verses 5 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will be called by the name of Jacob, yet another will write on the hand, the Lord's, and adopt the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock I know, not one. Amen. And our New Testament lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30, and then continuing at 36 through 40. 30 through 43. Hear the word of the Lord. He put another before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was sleeping, an enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you will uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then continuing at 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, would you join me in a prayer to illumine our minds and our hearts this day? Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for watching over us, for keeping us. We thank you, Lord, for your word that lights our path and guides us. We especially thank you this day for this word, Lord. May it light our path and show us the path we are to take, the path of light, the path of service for our God. Gracious God, hear this, our prayer, as we seek to be your servants, as we seek to watch over your lambs in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. As we begin our parable today, we notice certain similarities that exist between our last parable, the parable traditionally called the parable of the sower. I know, really technical names, these. and this parable. So we have the weeds and the wheat and the parable of the sower that seem so similar and yet are so, so different in what they mean. Last week, the area to which the sower spread seed was broken up into four various groups: the rocks, the path, the thorns, and the good soil. This week, there is only the one type of ground, which, as Christ mentions, it is the field which is the world. At issue with any parable isn't the similarities or necessarily the difference, but allowing the parable to stand on its own or be pushed by a furthering message. Last week, we had the seed of God's word, the word of the kingdom, being sown among four very different types of soil. And we might have gotten lost in the methodology of the sowing. Why on earth would the sower throw the seed on certain areas? Now, in contrast to that, Jesus begins this parable with the lead-in that the kingdom of heaven is like, which means that this parable is going to take us in the direction of what the kingdom is like. The difference between the two being the kingdom of heaven is like versus God's word is. Similarities between parables can cause us to cut corners, to shave off details, because it helps us to make an A and B comparison, when sometimes the most different parables are actually the ones that speak the same message or a similar message. Think about this. One summer I went and spent the entire summer working for a hardware store repairing windows. Now, when I say windows, I mean every conceivable form and type of window. I repaired screens, aluminum, and fiberglass. I repaired glass windows, all sorts, double thick windows, storm windows, sash windows, every conceivable type. And each one was different in its own right and own respect. There were sure little repair nuances that you could repeat and reuse, but each window had to be taken on its own, by its own, or you might possibly make a mistake in putting it together. You might possibly break something, damage something. And sometimes even the windows themselves were the nuance. Some windows had glaze that was so old you just could pull it up in a stream. Other windows you didn't need a tool to remove. Other windows, the plastic corners were so hardened by weather and wear that they would snap like shattered glass. Now, one of the great keys to this parable here is to let the nuances move. Jesus explains this parable for us, but again, it needs to be remembered to let it speak on its own. You think about this. Jesus' explanation can cause us to get lost in it. I was reminded of this many years ago when I sat in on a classes exam. And when I say I sat in, I mean I didn't take or examine. I was just I don't want to say a fly on the wall, but you understand. Now, the conversation the students were asked to describe and talk about for their Bible exams was to talk about a piece of scripture, and the particular example was from Jonah. Now, in their conversation, they discussed various pieces and parts, but what they often lost sight of were the nuances that shouldn't have been discussed. They would talk about what type of plant that Jonah sat under, what type of weed it was particularly, and why that worm that ate it, what that type of worm was. And I remember one other minister looking at the group and very politely saying to them, "Well, that's great that you read that, but what does that mean and why does it matter?" The fact is, it's great if you go into certain pieces and details, but the reality is that when you read things like that story in Jonah, knowing certain details can matter, or does it really matter what type of worm it was that ate and killed the plant? What does it really matter what type of plant it was? Or does it matter more that God put the plant to shelter Jonah? God sent the worm, and the worm ate the plant. Isn't that really what matters the most? Now, here are on our parable today, we have other nuances, other parts. Now, here, there might be a nuance that matters, like what type of weed it was. We'll get to that in just a moment. But we need to understand certain practices, certain things that we have that we don't have. Now, think of this. This is a time when chemical-free gardening was the only way of gardening. There was no special spray that the master and could sow with his crops that would prevent these weeds from taking root and growing. There wasn't a special spray he could walk down the rows and say, "You're a weed, you're a weed, you're a weed," like a Roundup type of spray. What we have is a weed and the wheat. And the danger that exists is that by taking out the weeds, you may damage the wheat. And so you can either take the approach of going through and damaging and destroying that which you have put there, that which you have sown, or you can wait and wait. Now, the explanation Jesus gives is that the man who sows the good seed and the evil one are who they are. It doesn't take a huge stretch for us to understand that part of the parable. But the first surprise comes in the response to the owner of the field. Now, we can play amateur farmer and second guess the statement of why didn't they go rip out the weeds. But bear in mind, again, the parable is the parable for the reason of the parable. It's about the message, not about good farming. Or is it also about good farming? Now, the real interesting concept is the coexistence of the weeds and wheat. They are going to grow together in the field. They are going to grow together in the world. They are going to be and exist at the same time. And in the early stages, as it has been posited, often these weeds will become enmeshed and entangled, and possibly even resemble, as some biblical scholars have guessed, that the weed in particular is a certain type of weed that resembles wheat until it reaches its final stages. Bear in mind that the weed and the wheat are existing together. Bear in mind too that the crowd, the reapers that Jesus speaks of in the parable, that will in the end be symbolized by the angels, will go into the field and will know the difference between the two types, the weeds and the wheat. But the following needs caution as we read it, because there is a bit of a ridiculousness in the interpretation. Because often we read it and we view ourselves as always the wheat. We don't second guess or wonder. We are the wheat. Now, I don't want to get into too many specifics about the comfort and knowledge of that. If we are part of God's kingdom, we should know that. And yes, yes, yes. But right now, we need to remember that the wheat knowing and the weeds knowing doesn't exist in this parable. Imagine a weed sitting in the field thinking, I'm a weed, and this is pretty good. Weeds don't think. Weeds are weeds. Weeds are weeds. Now, we could argue and go on and on about how through the fruits of the Spirit, assurance of salvation, blah, blah, blah. But that all exists outside the parable. What matters most is the enmeshment of the weeds and the wheat, the growing together, the being together in the field, and as we see it play further, as we see it play out in the world. But the key here is there is an element to which we can look at this and trust. But what we cannot do is take on the role of the reapers. At no point does Christ say that the reapers are us, that the reapers who will decide the weeds and the wheat is us. It's not the servants who go to the master. We are not the angels who will do the reaping. Now, unfortunately, we will fall into those two categories. Our job, as it were, is to take time to recognize the implication of that. What does it mean that it is not in our portfolio, so to speak, to be the reapers in this parable? That it is the role of the end and the angels. Now, think about this. When you have children, there is inevitably an element of older children trying to parent the younger ones. In my own family, we had one sibling who was called Junior Mom. And it's a term she didn't really like. But the fact is that other children are other children. They're not mom, they're not dad. And in this parable, the reapers are not the weeds or the wheat. And the thing we can be sure we are is either weeds or wheat. But with knowing our role within God's kingdom, as well as within this parable, there is something that is entirely problematic. We aren't just comfortable in knowing or trusting in the assurance of God's salvation. We have a drive to find out further whether others are saved, whether others are living as they should. And so we go out and we judge others. We call on them to be a certain way, and we make judgments about who and what they are. And the fact is, we don't know. We don't know. Because remember, we are only weeds, or we are only wheat. We aren't the reapers. We are not the ones who can sit back and say, yes, that's a weed, that's a weed, that's a weed, that's a weed. That's not us. Let me paint for you a two-sided picture. There's a person that you go and experience at work. They always seem to have an agenda of their own. They always have something that they're doing. And suddenly you announce to them that you're taking part in a walk for cancer research, you're raising money, blah, blah, blah. And that person hands you a $1,000 check. Now, because of the lens in which you see them, the lens in which you have based your presuppositions and your previewing of them on, how do you view that gift? You're going to view it with, what is their angle? What is their reason? Why are they doing this? You're going to suspect ulterior motives when really the possibility is that they just had maybe lost a loved one to cancer. They have had cancer touch their lives. You don't know, because your inability to see clearly is preventing it. Because you have created suppositions about that person. You have created a lens in which you view them. And that's the problem with us. We create those lenses all the time. Whether it's a rose-colored lens that we see somebody because we genuinely and truly want to see them in a good light, or someone who is just a great person, but because of one moment, one time, we can't see them as that. The fact of the matter is, we are too in the mix to truly see, to truly understand what it is that God truly sees. We can't see the full picture of everything going on. And so we need to trust and understand that the reapers will do due diligence. Trust that the reapers will be able to know and see truly what everyone is. It won't raise or lower our anxiety with this. But we need to do what we can do. And that means leaving final judgment, leaving judgment in as a whole up to the professionals, i.e. God and the angels, those who can see into one's heart. It doesn't mean that we won't try and judge and identify those people. We won't try and figure out who is a weed and who is wheat. But know this. There is God and the angels who know who is weed and who is wheat. We need to refrain from using labels when we look and talk with one another. We don't need to use language of in and out with God's kingdom, because we need to really embrace the mystery of not knowing, embrace the call to go to all people and proclaim the gospel. Not just a select few we like. When we presume to know the residents of God's kingdom, when we presume to know who is wheat and who is a weed, we presume to know on the very level to which God knows. We presume to be able to see within one's heart, then let's be honest. God lets us know what God lets us know, and if we don't know, we aren't meant to know. We need to instead focus and live our lives putting attention on serving God, on being who God has called us to be. We need to trust in God that if we are wheat, that God will know, and God will, in the end, make us part of the harvest. But we need to trust and understand that the sowers have come, and we are here in his field. And when the reapers come, we need to trust that we are not them. We aren't them. We need to exercise a little more grace, a little more compassion, and a little more love with one another. This is how we get through our world as it is. This is how we get by day to day, is giving and exercising grace with one another and not presuming to be more than we are. Remember that we are called to be sowers, but we are not called to reap. We're not called to spray Roundup willy-nilly throughout the field. We're just called to sow and trust that God will reap. Brothers and sisters, let us understand what God has called us to be. Take on the mantle of what God has called us to do and go forth and serve him. Amen.